podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We are now in the thick of our season previews for the 2017-18 season. We've done a whole lot of teams. Now we're starting to get to the good stuff. All of it is good, though, co-host Adam Murray. Am I correct?
Yes, we are now down to good teams. Teams that will be in the playoff hunt. Teams that will be hosting first-round games. Teams that could actually make it to the Eastern Conference Finals if some other team above them slips up. This is finally down to the world between the have and the have-nots are a vast disappearance, vast just disparity.
Are there any are there any potential have-nots, though, here?
There we have one, which is on the extreme hype train. But for the most part, these are all teams that should easily beat everyone below them. With the way the tiers go, is there's, you know, who can you bring up? You could bring up Milwaukee or Portland from the last level and try to talk with these guys.
Yeah, from the last one we did, we had, it was called Don't Tease Me, Bro. And that was the Utah Jazz, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Denver Nuggets, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Portland Trailblazers, and the LA Clippers. Like, I could have made a case maybe for Portland because of the fact that they've actually made the playoffs last 2 years. Maybe also Milwaukee, just based on pure potential. But,
Are you going to be hosting a first-round game? No, you're going to be on the road against these teams. And, you know, you can figure out who we haven't said. And, okay, yeah, you're not the top, so we know you're not going to be the Warriors or Cleveland. Yeah. But just this group.
Mathematically, we're at the point where if you've been following along, you kind of know what we have left here, you know. But what we don't, what you don't know is who we have in the top tier, which kind of gives it a little bit of that drama.
Oh, yeah. I wonder who the Warriors or the Cavs will be in.
Or they can just read the synopsis and know exactly who's coming.
Yeah, so.
This is called the Big Ballers. I know you're a LeVar Ball fan, Adam.
It's just, this is what happens when you have too many cable channels who just, here's a microphone. Keep saying shit. We don't care. You give us ratings.
LaMelo getting his own shoe and the NCAA considering not having him eligible. That was funny.
That's unfortunately the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I almost feel bad for, because the kid's 16 and doesn't know anything, and his dad essentially is...
What if you were in your living room and you made your own enterprise and you made like an Adam Murray mobile, like, and they said, oh, you're ineligible because you have your own car. And it's just I'm just talking like hypothetically, like you just decal your car, the Adam Murray mobile. Well, you can't have any licensing, so you're ineligible. Is that kind of what this is?
It's just marketing. And you know, you're a brand and you're not here to get an education. We're going to, you know, the rules are like the kicker from Central Florida who couldn't play because his YouTube channel was too popular. And
yeah,
it's just,
how about the one that was horrible was when the NCAA said that they couldn't give Kelvin Sampson's Houston basketball program too much free gear. That was insulting. That was just horrible.
It's insulting, but like, there's a fine line between they take themselves too seriously. You could say, yeah, you know what? You shouldn't be able to get an NCAA. You shouldn't get a sponsor. You shouldn't be a scholarship. Oh, yeah, you could still play, but you can't be, you know, free.
You can't be free. That's a good way of putting it. Big Ballers. The reason why I put this in this context is because it's the same way I just feel about the Ball family in general, and Lonzo Ball in particular with his dad, is that, yes, you're good, but ease up a little bit. Like, I don't want – don't get carried away. Don't buy the overhype. And well, a lot of fans will.
As you know, I've gone back and forth even on this on Lonzo. It's good that he's sort of distancing himself. He's like, look, I'm just – you know, that's my dad. What can you do? We all have crazy family members.
Are you speaking to something more personal? Are you relating to Lonzo?
No, because he could be totally competent. He could totally be I'm number one. I have the cocky attitude. I have the attitude problem. But he's like, no, I'm gonna play basketball. I'm gonna study. I'm gonna be in the weight room. I'm gonna be in the film room. As opposed to, you know, I'm cocky attitude. I'm the shit. I'm better than anybody else. Oh, why am I out of the league in 3 years?
Yeah, but for the, like just the example of the Big Baller brand is just like you know, hey, you're pretty good. You know what you're doing. And I feel like this. I feel this way about those four teams. Like, you're on your way. You're pretty good. You did all the right things. Now you got to – but don't – you're not the greatest. There's a way before you can get to that top tier, which is the final installment for our preview. So you want to get started on these teams?
Yep, and we start alphabetically as we always do, and we are going to the extreme hype train of extreme hype trains of all time. And
so even though it's the first one in the letter, this is the most overhyped of the 14.
Has there been a more overhyped anything other than...
Oh, God, the Lakers in 2013, the Knicks last year, the Knicks all other years?
No. This is... We're talking the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is, people are saying they can upset San Antonio and be the third best team in the West. There's lots of talk on that. There's nobody saying, you know, don't forget, this team was god awful last year. They were the worst team on defense, and for a defensive minded coach, not a good thing.
They were 27th in defensive efficiency, 25th in rebounding, 19th in points allowed.
And all they've added is just one all-star who essentially doubles a position.
Well, they stole Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls.
They stole Jimmy Butler. It was Jimmy Butler and the number 16 pick for the number 7 pick, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine.
And the number 7 pick became Lauri Markkanen for the Bulls.
And the Bulls couldn't even keep that second first-round pick. Like, that was the deal-breaker. Mm-hmm. No. We just want to move up 7 spots. We don't need 2 first-rounders. Like, what?
Is that Thibodeau's revenge on Chicago?
It seems to be his revenge of just karmic. Like, they ran him. The media just ran him out. Like, you know, it's almost... The Chicago media is almost like the SEC football media. And fans just like, oh, you lost 4 games, you know, this month. Oh, we need to get rid of you. Like,
don't open a fresh wound. But for Minnesota with Tom Thibodeau, like he struggled as in his first year, kind of running the show in Minnesota. And it wasn't that they were bad; it was that they would get horribly outscored third quarters. They would like have huge leads going into the second half, and they would just completely get obliterated defensively. They were terrible in the clutch. They were like the opposite of Memphis. Memphis is like known for being really good in like crunch time, whereas Minnesota was awful in crunch time. They had just no rhyme or reason to their offense. They played their starters just to the ground, Adam. I mean, to the ground.
They play under the ground, and the problem is the starters didn't know what to do. Zach mm-hmm. LaVine couldn't play defense to save his life. Andrew Wiggins, subpar defender, and it's just, well, you're relying everything on talent.
And that's a shame for Wiggins, because Wiggins is – that was kind of his thing coming out of the draft, that he was going to be a good Tracy McGrady type of defender because of his ranginess at a guard spot or at the wing spot. But that just hasn't come to fruition.
Yeah, and just, you know, how many games did they win last year? 31?
31 and 51.
And
Vegas
they
had a losing
them,
record at home, too.
And Vegas has them at 48 all of a sudden, only because Jimmy Butler is not a 17-win player.
Well,
I don't know if there's...
It's not just Jimmy Butler, though. They added Jeff Teague in free agency, even though they had to dump Ricky Rubio in order to do
so. Okay, so is it, for you, is that an improvement or is that a downgrade?
I call it a push. I call it, even though they're very different players, I think Teague's a better shooter. He's definitely not a better assist man than Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio is one of the best in the league in assists.
Okay, so we'll say push. I'll give you 2 wins for him. It's a 2-win difference.
All right. And now
so is Jimmy Butler a 15-win player? And, you know, Taj Gibson they added for the – and Jamal Crawford, who really provided nothing last year.
If they got Derrick Rose, that would have been just great narrative-wise, because they would have been the Timberwolves. Because now you're thinking, oh, he's getting the band back together.
Yeah, but – okay. But again, like I said, yes, Timberwolves.
That was funny. Yeah.
Taj Gibson, solid. Jamal Crawford, veteran leadership. Doesn't provide many for minutes.
Justin Patton broke his foot, so Lord knows when he'll be back.
He's out for you can expect the season.
Nemanja Bjelica was injured often last year, so we'll see what he can provide. Shabazz Muhammad came back because even though they renounced his restricted free agency rights, Muhammad could not find a good deal on the market.
So nobody really wanted him, or maybe he overpriced himself. He was strangely very quiet on the free agent market. There was
He will basically be Butler's backup. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll just be Butler or Wiggins if one of them get in foul trouble. He comes in. Mm-hmm.
Can Butler and Wiggins work together or play together?
And that's the thing is your instincts want to say no, but this year every team has traded in. Can they play together for, we'll just bring in talent and they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the Pacers tried that with Al Jefferson and Thaddeus Young and Jeff Teague, who's back here in Minnesota, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, also, you try that with Al Jefferson, who doesn't have any ankles left. And
yeah. Jimmy Butler's definitely got more than a step left. I mean, it wasn't like he was damaged goods in Chicago. I mean, he was their best player in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, which is, again, very strange to give him away for nothing. So, yeah, they have just way too much hype on them, and that's the problem, is 48 wins is just extremely high.
Yeah, I would go under two, but I'd still say more like 46 wins is definite. I don't want to go 50. 50 is just too much. But, I mean, is it possible that they win 50 games and everything breaks right?
In the West, probably not.
Because they would basically be flipping the script. You'd go from 31-51 to like 51-31 or 50-32.
In a perfect world, the way, you know, on paper, the way everything has been flipped, yes, but... in the West, which is much, much, much more difficult, everybody's going to be gunning for everybody. So there are no days off in the West.
What are they going to miss out of Zach LaVine, Ricky Rubio? I'm not going to count Brandon Rush, Adrian Payne, and even Chris Dunn, because Chris Dunn didn't provide that much because he was a rookie that kind of sparingly played minutes. But let's just kind of isolate it with LaVine and Rubio because they were main contributors. Like, what are they going to miss?
What are they going to miss from Adrian Payne? That first round pick they traded for him.
You always bring up that deal, the Adrian Payne deal. One of the worst in the history of the league.
Why would you give a first round pick for that?
What's worse, that one? That one or the Plumlee deal?
The Plumlee deal was just, why would you sign him to that to begin with, and then...
Well, you know what? There's two bad Plumlee deals. I'm mixing it up. The Mason Plumlee Nurkic deal.
That was just, we need to get him out.
Mm-hmm. But you gave away a first-round pick with it.
Because he was probably so toxic to that mm-hmm. team, they were beyond desperate. We don't think anyone's going to take him because of his attitude.
Yeah, but yeah, the Adrian Payne one, if you got to look it up to see his history on his wiki. It's like it's
hey, somebody signed him to a two-way deal in the G League.
It was Orlando.
So you know your career is on the upswing if you're now G League Plus.
Pekovic's contract is finally gone. Cole Aldrich, they couldn't move, so he wound up just sticking around. Taj Gibson, he played well in Oklahoma City, so when he got traded from Chicago. So we'll see what he can provide. I mean, Thibodeau clearly has an affinity for him, so he'll be able to play some minutes. His age is an issue. I think he's like 32 years old. Is that right?
But he's going to be the backup to Gorgui Dieng, and he'll be a solid, 25 minutes. It's not going to be 35, 40 minutes for him anymore. But basically, this team will come down to Thibodeau's time management, of which he's shown none, strangely. If he can develop a bench, which there really isn't much one, and be like, okay, I can give it to Tyus Jones, I can give it to Shabazz for a minute. If this is going to be 45 minutes of Jimmy Butler, this team's going to fall apart come April.
And then you got to feed the beast that is Karl Towns. I mean, Karl Towns is your best player. Is that correct? Or you think Jimmy Butler kind of takes over there?
I'd probably say Butler now.
Okay.
But Towns is only 21 and rising.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, can they get into that chemistry where it's like, well, we're both alpha males, but we can make this work because we're both trying to reach the same goals kind of thing?
That's basically it. So
let's move on to the Oklahoma City Thunder. boy, this one's interesting because they were. Would you call it, it's fair to call them a one man show last year with the Russell Westbrook winning the league MVP, averaging a triple double, nothing fancy, you know. I mean, 31 points, 10 rebounds, 10.4 assists, 1.6 steals. He was average. I mean, he had so many 50-point games, I can't even keep count.
I was just going to say Oklahoma City Thunder, more like Oklahoma City Under.
But, well, they won 47 games, which
the,
actually
the Russell Westbrook and Co. won, like you said. It was just him, and that was the worst part of the team last year. It was great to watch him have just that superhuman performance that, you know, hasn't been done since, what, 1970, whatever?
Yeah, but Oscar Robertson in 1961-62.
Okay, so it's been that long since somebody's averaged that much, and which was great. The problem was it was just him and nobody else on that team. And, well, they have good pieces in oh, no, it was just Westbrook. And then it came down to Westbrook, and he'd, you know, average 9 turnovers a game because it was just Westbrook.
Well, here's the thing. They didn't make that many changes. They made one big one. But they didn't make that. They didn't make that much. They didn't have that much defection versus the team that they had last year that lost to the Rockets in 5 games and convincingly lost in 5 games. It wasn't like, oh, Russell Westbrook, he could have had it, but they didn't get this break. And they didn't. No, the Rockets were definitely better than them. So what it is that you trade Victor Oladipo and you trade Domantas Sabonis to the Pacers straight up, no strings attached, for Paul George.
Yeah, that I want to say is a fleecing as well, but that's just Kevin.
A fleecing? That's muggery. that's horrible.
I think, as we sort of mentioned, that's just Kevin Pritchard being butthurt, saying, you don't want to stay here? Well, I'm not going to put you on a team that's good, so I'm going to put you on a team that's good, but we know they can't go over the hump in the West. I don't want to see him play. I don't want to play him 4 games.
I don't want to watch him in the finals while I'm sitting at home.
Yeah, that's basic. The fact they couldn't.
So I'm not going to make this Cavs deal work because I know LeBron can carry Paul George to the championship or to the finals.
And that's the first round. The fact they couldn't get a first round pick is absolutely crazy. But it's just one of those. You know, okay, fine. You'll be a 1 year rental. You could be their headache. And this again, like we said with Minnesota, and we'll be mentioning next in the next tier. He doesn't fit on this team all too well.
Paul George, you mean?
Yes.
Well, he basically slots into what Victor Oladipo was doing. Victor Oladipo averaged 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.2 steals. And his three-point shooting, his percentage was bad, but he made threes because he was always open because Westbrook had to find a way to get those assists off. Where now with Paul George is a Kickstarter. You don't need to feed him. You don't need to get him involved. He can do it by himself. So how does it change? How does the dynamic change now that you have a guy that can just get offense by himself? Is it kind of like Westbrook and Durant, or is George going to definitely be a second banana to Westbrook?
And that's what I mean by he doesn't fit. It's just you have, again, the Westbrook show, and now it's the Westbrook show plus George, who mm-hmm. needs the ball to do his thing as well.
And don't get me wrong, Paul George is still an elite NBA player right now. It's not like he's damaged goods. Like, he was having some great years.
Oh, no, this was just a bad trade from the previous team. Mm-hmm. This is the Westbrook, you know, it's not like Durant. Durant's just, okay, I could be a spot-up shooter. You want me to be one? I'll be it. I'll knock down everything. Paul George is not that same guy. Paul George also needs the ball.
Oh, for sure. He's. I mean, he averaged about 3 assists, but that's not his game. His game is usually like he's a two-way player. He's got a lot of length. He can make some three-pointers, and he can get to the line a lot.
And is Westbrook going to allow that, or is this going to be the Westbrook show all over?
So you think Westbrook might have to either defer or, by nature of statistics, be worse?
He has to become a worse player in order for the team to get better.
Now, define worse player.
He has to not have the ball in his hands every time and not have to be the triple-double guy.
You do realize who you're asking to do that.
That's
Russell Westbrook.
That's the issue I sort of have with the team.
Okay. And you think head coach Billy Donovan, I thought he did a good job with Durant and Westbrook down the stretch before they faltered in the conference finals, and then Durant left in free agency, but there was a lot of other reasoning behind that. But, I mean, they were able to kind of keep things until after that. They re-signed Andre Roberson. They got Doug McDermott and an absolute. You talk about a fleecing. They got Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson in exchange for Cameron Payne, who might not play basketball again.
Yeah, but McDermott didn't do much in Chicago, and Taj Gibson is already gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you still get McDermott.
The real sort of the fleecing signing is you got Patrick Patterson, who's always underappreciated.
There's rumors, though, that he has knee problems, and that was what lent to the deal that he got being so low. Let me see what the numbers were. It was very low. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of if you let me buy some time, I'll take a look. 3 years for $16 million. That's a bargain.
That is a bargain. So there might be something right with
very efficient point, like power forward. It's kind of a stretchy type of power forward.
And then you just have the Cantor and Adams problem.
Well, can't play Cantor. I mean, we already heard Billy Donovan say it during the playoffs. I mean, he can't play. You can't put him in pick and roll defense. He's going to get eaten alive. He's a good shooter, but he's not a terrific rebounder. He's basically now stuck to being a six man now for good.
And he's awfully expensive as a six man. That's the problem.
And everyone in Turkey hates him. Even his native land, nobody likes him.
Well, we are not getting into politics, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's enough politics and sports in the land.
Cantor is young enough where a good coach can mask a defense and hide players here and there. It's just, like I said, with Billy Donovan, he didn't seem to do much other than just, okay, here's Westbrook, go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ran as far as you could. Keep going.
Well, they did get Raymond Felton off the market so that they actually had a backup point guard that could. That had at least playing time versus Samaje Christian, who is Samaje Christian, you know?
Samaj is just James spelled backwards.
You just realized that, huh?
No, it was just one of those. I figured I needed to say something.
They got Jeremy Grant. Is Nick Collison, is the Udonis Haslam of the Oklahoma City Thunder still there?
I think he signed one more year, his farewell year on this team.
Are you sure it's his farewell year? I've heard that about three times in a row now.
He has to be making next to nothing.
They can't move Singler because it's a shitty, even at $6 million, $5 million a year, it's still a bad contract. But can they get anything out of Singler? Like anything?
One can hope.
Dakari Johnson, he's been toiling in the G League. It's finally his time to shine. You think he can do anything?
As a third big or. Yeah,
like a backup big, I guess. I mean, backup, that was another problem too. Is that after Adams, they didn't have a rim protector.
After they didn't have a bench, mm-hmm. It was just. I could say, well, yeah, they had a bench. You have Alex Abernus, and you had Gibson and Sabonis. But in the end, it was Westbrook,
yeah.
And it got. I don't want to say it got. It'll get stale if it's just Westbrook to George, Westbrook to George, Westbrook to George. But you're not going to give teams will figure out that fast. Smart teams will.
Oh, for sure. Like the Warriors type of teams, for sure. Like the Spurs.
So all right, Vegas has them at 51.5.
I will. Can I say push? Is it fair?
Push, yeah. 50, 51, 52.
I'll
I
go between
see.
51 and 52.
You can't
like
be like,
52
oh.
and 30 is definitely reasonable.
55, no, that's way too high. 49, that seems kind of low for them. It's just Vegas sometimes can hit it.
Yeah, well, this one's pretty close. Like, and now I can see this. Like, we talked about in other installments, teams that could just bottom out. I'm going to just tell you right now, this is the one. Like this, even more than Minnesota, because I think Minnesota's got a little bit more fail-safe settings, whereas with the Thunder, it could all go wrong, you know?
Well, Paul George gets injured. That sort of kills your whole team.
Well, and
if Westbrook kills your team, you're just straight-up lottery.
Yeah, it's just I just feel like the bottom-out potential between the four teams, that this is the worst one. But I still think they could win 52 games. Like I think they could be in that range. I would not go any higher than 52 though. That's why they're here.
And speaking as going as high you can go, next up is Toronto, who reached that glass ceiling and hit it very hard.
They keep hitting it like all the time. Like they thought they could be competitive, and they are competitive, But they're not on the level of, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers or even the Boston Celtics, to be fair. Now, the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors and the Wizards had this weird kind of, like, three-way, like, beef where they were like, okay, who's the second-best team behind Cleveland? And I don't know if we got, like, a true winner. I guess is Boston, at the end, kind of the karma type of winner in that scenario?
Well, they were. because they made it to the finals, but next year is a completely different thing. It's just... The thing I think about Toronto is just, is it Dwayne Casey?
Dwayne Casey is the head coach, yes. Masai Ujiri is the GM.
Yes, yes, he is. Thanks a lot. The question was, is it him? Is he the problem in the end? Mm-hmm. If it's just every year, it's just Lowry and DeRozan bring the clock down, take an off-balance 20-footer.
I mean, do you feel like Casey has done... I'll say this, though, for to his benefit. Do you feel like Casey's done the most he can do with this squad? I mean, DeMar DeRozan, he got his max money last year. Really good player. He's been an all-star. Kyle Lowry is a 31-year-old all-star. They re-signed him to, like, what, 3 years, $99 million it was, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, they and that's the question. 4 years, $99 million. Did he – 3 years, $100 million. Did they – Did he get as much as he could from this team? And now that they've re-signed Lowry and Ibaka, is it maybe time to start looking at somebody else might be able to get this team over the hump? Sort of like that Mark Jackson, you got us here, but we need somebody to put you over the – somebody who's a little different?
Yeah, well, Ujiri's not – I mean, I don't think Ujiri ever fired George Karl when he was there in Denver. So I don't know what his – like. I don't know what his sensibilities are when it comes to like having a leash for his coach, because he's never been in a position where he had to make a change. So it's kind of an interesting scenario with Ujiri. Ujiri wants to win every deal he's in. And to be fair, I feel like most of the deals that they did, even the Serge Ibaka trade, which a lot of people question, I felt like he kind of won out on that deal. Would you say the same thing?
Serge Ibaka for Terrence Ross.
And a pick, right?
And a pick.
The Clipper pick, the late one.
Yes, which did Orlando flip it to Philly for somebody? It
probably so.
I think they squandered it somehow.
And then Corey Joseph, they traded in exchange for who was the one they brought in? C.J. Miles.
C.J. Miles for Corey Joseph, which I was surprised because I didn't think Corey Joseph was that bad, and everyone was like he was horrible.
Corey Joseph was one of the best backup point guards in the league.
But everyone was like, he was a horrible signing. He is an albatross in this team. He is absolutely god awful. I'm like, oh, I didn't see it. I didn't think he was
the one that
bad.
Was questionable for me with Ujiri was the dumping of Carroll, so that they can make the numbers work to sign Ibaka. I believe it was.
I understand the dumping of Carroll because he didn't fit your team in the end. But
well, and Carroll had no problem.
He just ripped every and all his points were valid. Yeah, half the people wanted to defer to DeRozan and Lowry, and the other half said,
let's
play
to hero ball. Yeah, too much hero ball. quotes. But, you know, the other thing is they got a lot of other – they've also done a good job of drafting, and also
– No, I'm just going to hit the buzzer right there and just stop. It comes down to we need to talk about Bruno Caboclo.
You mean the guy that refused to check himself into a game for the Brazilian national team over the fall.
Yeah, that's the when it comes like you're like drafting. Yeah, they get these weird
Norman Powell, DeLon.
Yeah, Norman
Wright.
Powell, Pascal Siakam, who overachieved and fell out of the roster
Jakob
rotation.
Hurdle, Fred VanVleet. I mean, they're solid.
But it just comes down to Caboclo of you didn't have a need, so you picked this potential guy, but you went so obscure. He's not even doing well in the D League, mm-hmm. And you know
you're gonna shit on this whole legacy as a drafter because of Bruno.
You're only remembered by your bad picks.
Okay.
Because anybody could have. It's obvious you should. You know who wouldn't have taken so and so, and then you know with this pick, it's the ones like you reached for this person who potentially would have gone second round easily and. But just, you know, that's why I said just you could have developed somebody, you only developed Norman Powell to this point. Everybody else is sort of on the fence.
Yeah, but it feels like they're at a better place than they were when they first got there, is what I'm trying to say.
But, and yes, the CJ Miles trade is sort of a steal, because CJ Miles will shoot the three where nobody else on this team will.
I do think they'll miss PJ Tucker, though, who they got at the trade deadline. I thought Tucker gave them a lot.
But know, if Pascal Siakam could become that player,
mm-hmm.
You trade Patterson. Okay, he's sort of a Patterson light, but he still has that. I think it just comes down to Jonas Valanciunas. I don't know why nobody likes him. Yeah, the basketball's moving away from that, but he is still very valuable to that team, and he's still, every time I watch him, oh, he's still on the rim, still rebounding, still plays defense.
He's just pure post. He's pure post. And I think some people are, a lot of, like you said, a lot of NBA people are just kind of deflecting from that. They want their big men to be like Karl Towns. They want them to shoot. They want them to be rangy.
If you're not a stretch five, you're no good anymore. And that's like,
exactly.
No, it's just, the league will come back to that as it always ebbs and flows. It's just... yeah, I guess, you know, it just comes down to with just hero ball, and well, if you just give it to DeRozan, he's just, you know what he's going to do up here is he,
yeah.
Here, yep,
and they have a delicate balance. They had a delicate balance with that team where their first team was pretty good. And then they had what they called the Lowry plus bench, where Lowry would start the second and sometimes the fourth quarter of games with bench guys, which was at the time like Terrence Ross, Patrick Patterson, and Norman Powell, and they would go out there and they would run amok of the second units on the other teams because Lowry was out there. You know, it was like having two alpha males and having one of the alpha males stay on the court, kind of staggering the lineup. Now, that's kind of been blown up, you know, especially after Cleveland just decimated them a second year in a row in the playoffs. Just kind of give them a reality of what they need to do to get better. You know, keeping Ibaka is I felt like it was necessary. I don't know if the money was right, but I think he's a good pickup there.
I think you sort of had to keep him because if they lost him, this team would take a step back.
Yes.
If they lost him and Lowry, it would be two steps back.
And then they feel like they got a steal in OG Anunoby because he had a knee injury at Indiana, and a lot of people felt like if he had been able to just play an entire season, he would have gone higher than he did. I think he went into the 20s, right?
It was right before the Denver pick.
The rumor was Denver really wanted him, yeah.
And we mentioned it last episode with Denver. And, you know, okay, you could say they gave up their first and second round pick to get rid of Carroll, but Anunoby, okay, you're going to take a redshirt year, just sit out, get healthy. You're their number one pick. Next year will be your time to shine. So it's not like... I don't think he would have made much of a dent in the rotation this year anyways.
Yeah, the other guys are Lorenzo Brown, Kyle Wilcher, who was one of the castaways, and that Chris Paul, Houston Rockets, were trying to get to the cap. So that we were trying to get over the cap so that we can use the mid-level exception thing. So they had to dump Wilcher's contract. KG McDaniels was also picked up. So, well, we'll see. We you and I have always been high on McDaniels. We feel like he's got a little bit of potential. So, I feel like I hope he finds a good landing spot here in Toronto.
Well, this is probably the last landing spot. So,
I mean, yeah, he was in Philly,
Brooklyn.
But then he got dumped by Philly for
Houston. Houston, he didn't play, but they re-signed him anyways. Then Houston dumped them to Brooklyn. He didn't make it in Brooklyn. It's one of those. How did you not make it in Brooklyn?
Well, he's got the athleticism. That's kind of his game. But
who doesn't?
Yeah. Well,
that's
the
problem,
today,
especially
yeah.
in Brooklyn. But, all they had is athletic people who can't play. So Vegas 48.5.
Well, what's interesting is they won 51 games. Now, a lot of people felt they got started. They were red hot to start the season, and then they sort of cooled off by the end, especially when they made the Ibaka trade at the deadline. But they still won 51 games, so 48.5. I'm fairly confident to go over. Like, I think they'll win 50 games.
I'm gonna say a push because again, not to cop out again, but losing Patrick Patterson's gonna. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt a little bit, and if these young kids don't step up for them, they have no room to make any moves.
Exactly.
So you're stuck
with
this team.
That's what I was about to say, is that was the reason, one of the reasons for the Carroll move, is that they are literally hard capped. They're actually over the cap.
They are over. They, you know, they got rid of Carroll for, oh, who was it, the LSU center. They immediately, what do they do? Oh, we're just going to cut you and stretch you.
Was that Johnny O'Brien, or I don't even remember.
No, he was on Brooklyn, not Anderson. I don't. obviously unimportant.
Anthony, not Anthony Randolph, can't be.
No, Anthony Randolph is now Slovenian.
Like, he is actually Slovenian.
He has a Slovenian citizen passport and has played in the Euro basket.
All power to you. All power to you. Wherever you can ball, do it. Because, I mean, look what happened with, who was it, Darius Miller for the Pelicans? He went for two years, he went to Euro, and guess what? He's playing with the Pelicans again.
Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
He got kicked out of Missouri, had to go to...
Remember Anthony Parker? He made a living doing that. He would go to Europe, and then 5 years later, he came back and he was.
Oh, Anthony Parker, the first Mike James.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's like 25 Mike Jameses now. It's confusing.
The first one, it's just... if there's not enough room, if you come in too young, that's the things we're seeing now with these 18, 19-year-old Steven Zimmerman cut, 18-year-old kid cut from Orlando because we don't want to develop you. All right, you got to go find your space somewhere.
Second-round picks are getting cut like nobody's business because of the cap crunch. Which means younger players are having to find places to land. I would feel like 50 is fine, but you feel slightly under, so you're going to go with the under.
I'm going to take a little step back because you're relying a lot on Norman Powell
and your younger second unit guys to step up, which is hard. DeLon Wright, I like him, but what's he proven?
You're the only one left on that DeLon Wright boat.
Yeah, Baby Noguera, he's got some shot blocking skills. But...
He has developed nicely, slowly into a nice, Bismack Biyombo sort of just defensive guy.
And offensively, they've been good for a while. So, I mean, I'm never worried about that. I'm worried about them being dead last in assists and you lose Corey Joseph. That's a problem. But, outside of that, I think they're going to be in okay shape. The bottom out potential on them, I think, is kind of low. I think at worst, they'll be a 45-win team.
Okay.
Yeah. You ready to move on to the last one, which is an Eastern Conference team as well?
Which is their sworn enemy of the Raptors.
Boy, the Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors had a nice little rivalry there for a second, huh? I wish they'd have played each other instead of Boston. Now, Boston and the Wizards had a beef, too. It was like a three-way dance.
It was built up for it. Then Cleveland's like, nah, we're just going to be the number two seed. We're just going to phone it in for the last few weeks. I'm like, no, you ruined the great storyline.
Yeah.
And, okay, you are higher on Washington than I, so I will give you the floor.
I think they'll win like 50 to 52 games. We're just going to get it out of the way. Their over-under on Vegas is 47.5 wins. They won 49 games, and I don't think they're going to get worse. I think they're going to be better. So I think I would put them at 50 at the least, so I would definitely go over.
Oh, I will go over as well. It's just, however, your bench has gotten worse. The bench, which we said last year, that was the great thing.
Their starting lineup is like very. It's kind of like the same vein as
the starting lineup is. You have now handcuffed yourself to Otto Porter Jr., and you better hope he has that Hassan Whiteside development as opposed to that Chandler Parsons development.
Nick Batum, like I'm just kind of phoning it in type of. Mindset. The deal that he got the offer sheet for was 4 years, $106 million from the Brooklyn Nets. The Wizards swore by it they would match it, and indeed they did. So now Porter's in the mix. Markieff Morris, hey, we talked about this for years since we started this podcast. The Marcus versus Markieff battle. Who's better? Markieff's better. Let's just get it out of the way for good. Even though Marcus is a proud is proud property of your Boston Celtics.
He's better, but he's not, he's not all-star good. And then Marcin Gortat is 32, and your backup is Jan Mahimi, who is he even healthy?
Gortat is still a double-digit rebounder. And
is greatly efficient, and,
Setter, too. He sets the best screens for John Wall.
The problem is... who's the backup for Morris? You cannot play Otto Porter as a small four. This team can't play small ball, period.
Yeah, they had to get Mike Scott off the street. They were in a situation because they needed a backup point guard after Brandon Jennings and Trey Burke just got destroyed in the down the stretch when John Wall would sit. So they had to get a point guard. So they reached and they got Tim Frazier, but they gave up a pick to do so. And they had to do the same thing like last year. I think what did they do? They got undrafted free agents and they got Sheldon McClellan and Daniel Achefu. Well, they did the same thing this year. They got Devin Robinson is their new guy. Coming off the street. Tomas Sodoransky, man, I know a lot of those Euro guys like him because he had some pretty good game in Euro ball. It just doesn't work here in Washington.
The thing with Sodoransky is I think Washington wants to make him a two, but he is better as a one.
He's more like – he's kind of like Teodosic light. Is that fair to say?
Kind of, yeah. The same way, you know, like Jan Vesely is destroying it in Euros because he's a center out there, whereas they wanted to make him a three in Washington. Sure. It's just...
And Jason Smith is at a point where you can't really rely on him. Like, whatever he gives you is Lagniappe. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say, but this team can't do anything. They have no money for moves. They have no... You're just... Again, I think the Otto Porter signing is just horrible. Because
really,
now you're stuck.
Otto Porter averaged like 13.6 rebounds and a steal and a half. And I mean, he was a very good shooter, too.
You know, last year was the first year that Bradley Beal stayed healthy. So you're relying on that to happen every year. And John Wall, we know it's going to be John Wall. He'll still be the top 4 point guards.
He also got paid very nicely. 4 years, $170 million, which will kick in. Is it 2019 or is it next year or the year after that it kicks in?
I think it's the year after.
It's kind of like he kind of signed a contract in the same vein as James Harden where they merged the money together to make it look like a mega deal when what it was is they were adding a new contract to the money that was still owed to him. So yeah, it looks like a lot of money. It's like 6 years, $240 million, something like that.
It's just an extension more or less and nothing. But the thing is, yeah, they're capped to who they have, and you're Marcus Morris and Marcin Gortat. That is who you're going to rely heavily on, and there's no backups for them.
Did it feel like you sort of broke a glass ceiling? You talked about with Toronto. Did it feel like they sort of did that, they broke the glass ceiling last year, or you feel like there's still another level to go? They went 7 games with the Celtics. They easily took out the Hawks, if you ask me. Wall just dominated. I thought Wall completely outplayed Isaiah Thomas. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. But they still lost the series. But do you feel like that they're right there on the precipice?
No, because people are irrationally high on them, thinking they're going to be the ones who will be, you know, they could upset Cleveland. It's just like, well, I don't...
Well, there's a reason why they're here and not there.
Exactly, and I'm not gonna continue to beat a dead horse, but your front court is dangerously thin, and you know, traded for Chris McCullough, who
That was the Andrew Nicholson deal. Well, they had to get rid of Nicholson's awful contract, so I didn't judge that. But I do agree with you about the Ian Mahimi problem, where they have to dig when you don't have the room, the cap room, when you're over. And you're hard capped and all that jazz, and you cannot add any players to the mix. You got to dig into what you already have and just make it work. And with Mahimi, they put a lot of money into that man in 2016. They signed him to like $16, $15 million plus per year. If they can get something out of him, then it might work. But boy, he looked really awful and he looked really rusty coming off of injury at the end of the season, which is a real concern.
Yep, and he ties up all of your money.
They also have a very nice sixth man who just – he's not I feel like he's a player in Kelly Oubre Jr. I feel like he's a player that in a vacuum, he's average at best, but he fits well with Washington. It's kind of like the opposite of Sadoransky. You know, he kind of works well as like they started using him as a small ball four, and it started to work where they would actually be able to, you know – to outshoot some teams in the second quarter of games with Oubre on the court.
You put him as a small ball four, you're just way too small.
Oh, you are. That's why it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick, and it would work on some teams. However, now that the center position has gone away and everybody's now stretched out, your small ball lineup is just going to get eaten up alive. And it's just, I can't be high on them.
Their defense was the biggest problem. Like, their block shots, their rebounding, their points allowed, their efficiency, all bad. You know, they also turned the ball over a lot, which I lend to the fact that they were asking Wall to do too much because he didn't have a dependable backup point guard. I'm not saying Tim Frazier is a dependable backup point guard, but he's not chopped liver. You know, so maybe I think that'll improve. The offense is still going to be really good. I think Scotty Brooks, to be honest, has gained a reputation of always having good offensive squads. Is that fair?
Yeah.
From Oklahoma City to Washington. But defensively, I don't know where the improvement's going to come. That's my biggest concern. You lost Bojan Bogdanović, who wasn't a good defensive player, but he was a good scorer off the bench.
He was your scorer, and there's who's your scorer off the bench now?
Yeah, and I mean, they added Jody Meeks as a shooter to improve their three-point shooting, which was middle of the pack. Frazier, I think, is a good three-point shooter, but I don't have his numbers in front of me. It very much relies on their starters continuing to stay consistent and staying healthy. That's the biggest part, because the bench just is not going to be able to get it done, even though I do think they bolstered their bench slightly. But I will say that they'll be better.
Okay, fair enough. So let's get down to rankings. I think we're actually in agreement for once, which is rare.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at it, it's pretty much right in sync. Number four, which would in our case we're in the top 10 now, because we're getting into like the kind of the nitty gritty here. We had the Wolves here at the 10 spot. At the 9 spot, which is the fourth best team in ours, is the Toronto Raptors. My justification there for the Wolves is that even though they're good and they might win 50 games, just like all the other teams, they haven't proven it yet. You got to prove it. You got to show you can do it.
Yep.
For the Raptors, I got them after that. I've got the Wizards above the Raptors because I feel like their potential is better than Toronto. I feel like Toronto might take a slight step back, whereas Washington, I think, is going to take a slight step forward. And then for the best team, I have the Thunder, simply because of the star power of Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
I agree 100%. And, you know, these are teams we like. These are teams that will be...
I think the Thunder are going to be fun to watch. I mean, just based on chemistry. I just want to see how it works, you know. And the Wolves are, you know, the thing that Thibodeau always got criticized for in Chicago was that his teams were not fun to watch, even though they were legitimately good and they had great defenses. This is weird because he's trying to like put the genie back in the bottle. He brings Butler in, he brings Gibson in, but they struggled so much on defense. I don't think Jimmy Butler by himself can fix that, but I want to see if they can try.
And that will be half the fun watching is, can they usurp these top teams?
Yeah. Which team do you feel like, I already mentioned mine, has a chance to bottom out? I had the Thunder, which is my top team.
It's the Thunder is, we like I said, we're pretty much unison on this one.
So, all right, and that's kind of finishing that. We only got one tier left, and that's the championship level, and that'll be some fun stuff. So on behalf of Adam Murray, Andrew Reich, take care.